The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Big Ben. Did you hear what the GM of the Steelers said? It certainly sounds like this could be the end of an era. Then, where will a new era begin? We'll tell you why a team no one is talking about might make all the sense in the world for Deshaun. And in case you were wondering if Tom Brady was listening, when people said he was through, he kept receipts. Ah, this is going to be fun. It's time to get up with you, starting right now in New York. It's time to get up here on this Thursday. And look at this. I'm not alone. Chris Canty is in the studio and ready to go. Good to see you, big fella.
Thanks for having me back, G.
And we got Field Yates ready to go today. He is, it looked up to me, I think, sort of dressed for some sailing. Sort of got the regatta look, if we can here. I like that. And Damian Woody will join us shortly. If it's a Thursday, it means we're having trouble with Damian's internet. All that and a whole lot more as we get started with this from Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger is the quarterback of the Steelers right now. That is the way general manager Kevin Colbert phrased it in a news conference yesterday. And even beyond that, Colbert lukewarm in his assessment of the franchise quarterback's future with the organization.
As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He met with Art Rooney. He met with Coach Tomlin. He met with myself shortly after the season ended. He reiterated that to us, that he wants to continue to play. We told him, quite frankly, we have to look at this current situation. With Ben's current cap number, some adjustment will have to be made. And we anticipate that he could still do some good things moving forward. So hopefully there's a way that we can try to figure out and do what's best for the organization and do what's best for Ben.
Wow. So that's not exactly an enthusiastic endorsement. You see the numbers on here, and based on his current contract, he has the biggest salary cap hit of any player in league history this coming year. So let's come out and let's talk it. And Chris Canty, I'm starting with you as you listen to the... Oh, and D. Wood is ready to go. He gets up with us this morning as well. Good morning, Damian Woody. But I will start with you again, Chris Canty. As you listen to him talk right there, what thoughts go through your mind?
Well, right now, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in a tough spot because Ben Roethlisberger is not a quarterback that should command a $41 million cap hit. And so because he can't elevate the talent level around him, I think it puts them in a very tough spot in terms of how to handle a legend with that franchise. Ben Roethlisberger is not the quarterback that can push the ball down the field like we could in yesteryear. And because of that, it limits your offense. So, gee, in my opinion, I think there's a cap on how good the Steelers could be in 2021 with him under center just because he limits what your offense can do.
And as you heard the GM talking, did it remind you of anything else we've heard in the NFL in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, not so long ago, we heard the general manager for the Los Angeles Rams, Les Snead, say that Jared Goff was their quarterback for the moment. It kind of gives off the same vibe what Kevin Colbert said from the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday.
Yeah, Les Snead said that, and about a week later, Jared Goff was a Detroit Lion. We're not suggesting that's on the verge of happening here with Ben, but you never know. All right, let's go to Field on this here as we're working with D. Wood's signal. Field, what is your perspective on this and on Roethlisberger, on the money and the option here that we might be seeing the end of an extremely successful era?
Yeah, first of all, Greeny, like, this kind of came out of nowhere, right? It's not that we didn't think that Ben Roethlisberger was going to have to redo his contract, but I think many, myself included, figured, oh yeah, Ben's just going to redo his contract and he'll be back with the Steelers. Now, the idea that Ben Roethlisberger won't be a Steeler has at least entered the conversation. So you mentioned the $41.5 million cap hit for Ben Roethlisberger. He's going to count no matter what, $22.5 million for the Steelers this year. This problem is somewhat self-inflicted by the Steelers because they've been pushing his cap hit further and further and further down the road until this year. But they also had no control over the COVID-19 pandemic. The part that I'm having the hardest time figuring out for the Pittsburgh Steelers is if they do move on from Ben Roethlisberger because they either can't find a middle ground on his contract or they just don't believe that Ben is the quarterback to lead them in 2021, Where do they turn instead? There isn't an in-house option right now. Mason Rudolph is not a player that I believe can take the Steelers back to the playoffs next season. And because of where they're going to draft this year, having had a successful, for the most part, 2020 season, it's not like there's any guarantee they could pick a quarterback that could immediately come in and revitalize this offense. The Steelers are one of the teams, along with the Saints and the Eagles, that could look as different as any other from 2020 to 2021. This Ben wrinkle is very fascinating.
It is. So, Chris, I mean, it's a complicated situation you face because he's a legend and he's done enormous things for your franchise, and you want to let him sort of go out in a graceful way. But at the same time, if you have made the decision that with Roethlisberger, your future has a limit, then maybe the key is to start moving on as quickly as possible. The franchises have to balance that, and this is a complicated one.
No, it is complicated, but I think it's a situation where they got to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off because they can't move this program forward with Ben Roethlisberger being on this team because, as I mentioned before, he's a limited quarterback. In throws of 20 yards down the field or more and adjusted completion percentage, Ben Roethlisberger among starters ranked 27th, which is right behind Jared Goff and right in front of Andy Dalton. That's where you don't want to be if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers. So at some point, you're going to have to move off of him. And it just feels like this is the opportunity that you have to do that in. It doesn't feel great, but you can't let Ben Roethlisberger cost you the potential free agents that you'd like to keep in Pittsburgh.
Well, I get that part of it. And that is that they have to figure out money for a bunch of other guys, including some big names on defense that they'll have to pay. But it's easy to say move on. It's complicated, as Field is saying, to say move on to whom? This is not a team that rebuilds. They reload on the fly. So if not Ben next year, then who?
Well, I think you have to look at Mason Rudolph and Dwayne Haskins and see what you have there in a competition. But it's not going to be a pretty picture. It's not going to be a simple answer for Kevin Colbert. It's an ugly situation, but you also have to remember what is going to be the identity of your team moving forward. It's going to be on the defensive side of the ball. You'd like to hold on to some of those stalwarts that you have. Bud Dupree, a free agent that's impending. T.J. Watt, they're going to have to address his contract. I would want to hang on to those guys more so than pay Ben Roethlisberger to be my quarterback.
Haskins is 2 years removed from being a high first-round pick in the NFL draft. He's a fascinating wild card in all of this. If they can unlock the magic there, then maybe they wind up pulling something out. We will see. Meanwhile, that's the beginning of the quarterback conversation. Let's get to the next one, and his name is Carson Wentz. His career, by now you know this, he got off to an unbelievable start in Philly, led the league in total QBR in 2017, just his second year in the league. Got hurt in that game on that play against the Rams there, and his team goes on to win the Super Bowl without him. And since then, he has suffered a variety of injuries. It was a knee, it was a vertebra, it's a concussion. Then this past year, he was benched in favor of Jalen Hurts for the final four games of the season. Listen to his former teammate, Chris Long.
If I'm them, I do trade Carson and draft a QB and then let Jalen and him duke it out. Because you've already ruined the relationship with Carson. Carson ruined it too by not playing well this year. If you're the school of thought that the Eagles didn't undermine Carson at all, you're wrong, I think. And if you're the school of thought that Carson should have been untouchable, you're wrong as well. The truth lies somewhere in between there, but the relationship is broken. Get what you can and get him out the door.
It certainly does feel like it's heading in that direction. How it got to this is a complicated question, but I haven't had a chance to talk to you since this has all been going on. Chris Canty, what is your perspective on Carson Wentz right now?
Well, right now, Carson Wentz seems like a quarterback that has lost his way, and so I just feel like he's in a situation where he's got to try to have a better second act, and I think a fresh start would do him a whole lot of good. You heard what Chris Long just said. He thinks the relationship is broken and it's irreparable, and so I think it makes a lot of sense for the Philadelphia Eagles to move on from Carson Wentz, and now it's just about Howie Roseman being able to extract maximum value because he's going to need that draft capital to rebuild his roster. So I just feel like they're at a crossroads right now. And based on the situation in Philly, being a team that's rebuilding, it makes sense to deal Carson Wentz.
Well, yeah, and so value is a complicated question, right, Yates? I mean, at some point it felt like, to me, like the Eagles thought they were going to get a Matt Stafford-like return in a trade for Carson Wentz, when in reality they have an asset that is a lot more similar to Jared Goff and that side of that trade. So what does value look like in a deal here?
No question, Greeny. I'm so glad you mentioned the Stafford trade because that to me feels like an incredibly important piece of context is that Philly may be trying to maximize its leverage with Carson Wentz using the idea that a potential franchise quarterback in Carson Wentz, and I say potential very carefully because we know that he was a broken player in 2020, should command a lot of value in a trade. On the other hand, you have what some would view as a radioactive player, right? I mean, Carson Wentz was, by some metrics, the worst starting quarterback in football last year. So the Eagles can try to maximize leverage all they want, but they may not have that much leverage to maximize. And while I disagree on the idea of the Steelers being a team that should be taking the long view and potentially retool slash reboot, I think the Eagles are a team that could be in a position to, if they trade away Carson Wentz for whatever the best package available is, they can then look towards 2021 and maybe even 2022 as a couple of years of transitioning. If the best deal that presents itself to the Philadelphia Eagles is for example, the Colts for a couple of second round picks, I know it sounds like pennies relative to what the Rams got. What the Lions got in the Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford trade, but I would do it. A future that includes Carson Wentz in Philadelphia is untenable to me. You have to get the best offer, even if it is not close to what you imagine that best offer would have been days after the Stafford-Goff exchange took place.
Absolutely. They're looking at that from the wrong side. And so Indianapolis is the place everyone seems to be pointing to. Chris Canty, put Carson Wentz as the starting quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts next year. What are they?
I think they're a team that can win a playoff game. And I know people
are saying,
Win a playoff game. Well, they got into the playoffs this past year.
They were one drive away from winning a playoff game last year.
It was very close. But you're talking about a team that has a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, and a really strong offensive line that allowed the second fewest sacks in the NFL. One of the biggest issues with Carson Wentz is his inability to stay healthy, the inability to get himself out of trouble. So that offensive line mitigates that to some degree. And you remember when Carson Wentz had success back in 2017. Frank Reich was a part of the coaching staff in Philadelphia. So if anybody can get it out of him, it would be him.
So why are they not better than that? Why are they not a legit AFC contender with Carson Wentz on that team?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know what Carson Wentz is. I don't think he's the quarterback that led the league in sacks and interceptions, but I also don't think he's as good as the guy that led his team to a 13-3 record and won the Super Bowl in 2017. So I think it's somewhere in the middle, and because of that is why I would put a cap on what the Colts could be coming up this season.
Yates, Colts is the team that we keep hearing, and I know that you did this quarterback preview we'll get to later. You expect him to go to the Colts. The other one that we hear is the Bears. What is your sense of when this thing plays out with Wentz and where it ultimately goes?
Yeah, I think we know it'll take place before the third day of the league year, which is March 20th, the day he has a $10 million roster bonus due. It'll be much sooner than that, though, Greeny. I think we've reached the point where negotiations remain underway. I think the Colts continue to make the most sense. I'm actually more bullish on the Colts with Carson Wentz than Chris is if they do acquire him in a trade. And I don't know what the exact percentage is that Carson Wentz can rediscover the skill set and the player he was from 2017 to 2019. But I think if there's a place where he can do it most likely, it's the Colts. There's the familiarity with Frank Reich, his former offensive coordinator, now the Indianapolis head coach. And I'll just say this. Maybe this is too much of a generality, but it feels like basically every player Indy has acquired over the past few years has maximized his own value within that culture. I believe that if the Colts acquired Carson Wentz, they could win at least a playoff game and be in the mix in the AFC next year.
Yeah, I think if they get Carson Wentz and all they do is win one playoff game, I think many people, myself included, would consider that a disappointing outcome. All right, let's get to the quarterback everyone wants, and that is Deshaun Watson. And we know that there have been so many different teams linked to him, which makes a lot of sense because who wouldn't want him? But one of them that's intriguing is the Denver Broncos. And I talked about that with a former Bronco, Mark Schlereth, who was on my radio show on Monday. He does local radio in Denver now. And he was talking about one reason, or maybe it's several, that Deshaun might be interested in Denver.
If you look in their draft last year, Jerry Jeudy, first rounder, had some drops, some inconsistent play, but there is no question about his talent level. KJ Hamler, second rounder, can really run. And then also Noah Fant in the first round at the tight end position who can run like the wind. So the building blocks of something special offensively from a weapons standpoint are certainly there.
So that's the thing. They've got the weapons. They just haven't had the quarterback. Since Peyton Manning retired after winning the Super Bowl, take a look at this. It's been a revolving door, and only the New York Jets have put together a combined lower QBR at the quarterback position in that stretch of time than the Denver Broncos. Aside from the quarterback, That's a potentially really good team, which makes me want to ask the question, and I'm told that we do have D. Wood back with us, so let me bring Damian Woody into the conversation. Good morning, D. Wood. Are the Broncos a sneaky good option for Deshaun Watson?
I really like the Denver Broncos, Greeny, because, you know, we've been talking ad nauseum about the Denver Broncos and their inability to solve the quarterback position. But if you look at this team, look at the pieces that would be around Deshaun Watson. Denver has a good defense. And Mark Schlereth talked about the pieces on offense, particularly at the skill position. They got a couple good running backs. They got Noah Fant, the tight end, who's pretty good. And they got three young wide receivers who have the potential to be dynamic in the National Football League. So if you add a Deshaun Watson to that mix, who, in my opinion, you know, just behind Patrick Mahomes is Deshaun Watson. Now you're talking about a division in the AFC West where you have Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, you know, all those Justin different Herbert. Quarterbacks in that division. That would be money that I would pay to go see in that division.
Absolutely. Justin Herbert would be another one, the rookie sensation there with the Chargers. So I'll ask you the same question, Chris Canty, that I asked you a moment ago about Indianapolis. Put Deshaun Watson on Denver. What are the Broncos?
I think that's a team that can compete for a wild card. I mean, I just think that the ceiling on them is a little bit limited just based on the division that they're in. But if you look at the landscape of the AFC West, right now the Broncos have the worst quarterback, and you could probably make an argument that Drew Locke might be as low as fifth if you include Marcus Mariota, the backup at the Raiders. So I think it's a situation where John Elway should try to push his chips to the middle of the table and see if he can pull off a deal to get Deshaun Watson, just because you don't have an opportunity to compete otherwise.
The question, Yates, is what chips does Elway have to push to the middle? We sometimes talk about it, and I guess we're as guilty of this as anyone. We sometimes talk about this like Deshaun Watson is a free agent. He's not. They have to figure out a way, whoever it is, to make a trade with the Texans. So in that regard, Yates, how do the Broncos look as a possibility?
Yeah, I think if you're their new general manager, George Payton, you're probably having to ante up with the 9th overall pick in this year's draft, a first-round pick in 2022, a first-round pick in 2023, and potentially some other goodies. And I say other goodies because I don't want to be specific with a draft pick or a player without knowing specifically what Houston would covet. So it's going to cost a ton, and it's going to be an all-in move for the Broncos. I like the fit because I like the fit for basically Deshaun Watson anywhere. One point that I think is important to reinforce, and Damian was getting there with noting that it's a division that already includes Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, is that there's not a scenario where you can like play really good defense and get by on offense and win the AFC West. You have to be bold and audacious to win this division. You have to have a franchise-level quarterback because the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. The Chargers are going to get there in their rise and stay there because of Justin Herbert. If I'm George Payton and I've had all these years, even though I wasn't there, of trying to figure out a quarterback plan without Peyton Manning, if this opportunity presents itself, heck yeah. And I know it's going to cost a ton. But if it's three first-round picks plus more, I'm comfortable with that. A 25-year-old quarterback with 5 years left on his deal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no team in the league that wouldn't, practically no team in the league that wouldn't do anything they could to wind up getting Deshaun Watson. Right. So, Chris Canty, quick final thought. When it's all said and done, what do you think winds up happening? Because the Texans continue to insist they're not going to trade him. Do you believe Watson will change teams between now and the draft?
No, I absolutely think he's going to change teams. It's just a matter of where he's going to go. And if I'm the Houston Texans, I want to ship him as far away from me as I possibly could, potentially in the NFC. So that's what I would be looking to do. But there are some teams in the AFC that make sense, because you look at the New York Jets, your New York Jets, they got the second overall pick, which is a huge bargaining chip in these negotiations for compensation going back to the Texans, as well as the Miami Dolphins that have the third overall pick. So I just think that would be interesting. But if I'm the GM, if I'm Nick Caserio, I want Deshaun Watson out of the conference.
Yeah, and you want him out of the conference, and you probably want to make this deal the sooner you can, because once these other trades wind up getting made here, you start losing a little bit of the extraordinary leverage. Okay, so much more football as we go, but as you may not know, while you were sleeping in the land down under, a clash of two terrific tennis players in Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams in the final four of the Australian Open, the legendary Serena against Osaka. And we pick it up in the first set. Osaka with a breakpoint opportunity. She's in the near court, and she is pumped as she goes up 4-2 in the first with an opportunity to claim the set. And here now, Serena can't get the serve back. Not much she can do, as Osaka had a terrific night. Serena would lose the first 6-3. Now we're in the second, tied at 4-4. Osaka once again with a break point, again in the near court. Serena's court coverage has been spectacular at the age of 39, but this is just too good. Osaka cross court, 5-4, she leads. And now Osaka with the match on her racket. And this is all she wrote. Serena, 24 unforced errors on this night, and it's Osaka who wins it in straights, 6-3 and 6-4. And as Serena waves farewell to the crowd in Melbourne, she was asked afterwards if this really was farewell.
I don't know. If I ever say farewell, I wouldn't tell anyone. So.
Considering how well you've played to get to this stage, what do you feel caused that? Or was it just one of those bad days at the office?
I don't know. I'm done.
An emotional Serena Williams. Again, Naomi Osaka on to the final. As we continue, after his injury, it became clear just how important Dak Prescott is to the Cowboys, why he should use his leverage boldly. We will explain, and we present yet another reason why Tom Brady has won 7 Super Bowls. Here's a hint. He hears everything. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Geico. You could save even more by bundling home and car insurance. Meanwhile, Damian Woody, you're our man of fashion. What do you think of Russell Westbrook's outfit last night? Take a look here. What do you think?
What the hell is that, man? Like, I mean, come on. What, the man got a raincoat on? He got a yellow raincoat on? Come on, man. He need my red mink out here, Greeny. Needs that.
Oh, we need that. Let's get the red mink. Yes. We need the red mink at some point to make an appearance on this program. We'll continue in a moment. Dak Prescott's terrible injury cost the Cowboys dearly. Did it have an even deeper impact on him? One member of our crew says, yes, it did. You'll hear why. Coming up, Get Up, ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescott strolls into the end zone.
Dak has an enormous amount of leverage.
If I'm Dak, I want to get the hell out of there.
Deep shot, he's got a man, it's caught. Touchdown, Cowboys.
To not take care of Dak Prescott is damn near criminal.
Is Jerry going to refuse to pay? He could.
Yeah! Let's go!
Well, this has been the story that just never seems to go away. And you heard Jerry Jones in there briefly saying that Dak Prescott has all the leverage in upcoming contract talks after Dallas went 6-10 this year. And suffice it to say, they were much, much, much better when he was playing this year. You see the numbers there. They averaged 11 more points per game. Bringing it back with the crew here. It'll be half past the hour with Field Yates and Damian Woody there and Chris Canty here. And Chris, let me just start with you because I've not had a chance to chat with you through this either. What do you make of the situation right now? Cowboys, Dak Prescott, what is the best way for this thing to go next?
Well, they got to get a long-term deal done, but it still feels like Jerry Jones is fishing for a discount, whether it's because he doesn't want to pay Dak at the top of the market or he wants to spread the cap hit over the life of the deal. Doesn't matter. Jerry Jones has to realize that he's losing leverage with every day that's passing because Dak Prescott is one day closer to true free agency. If he wanted a discount, he would have did what the San Diego Padres did last night and paying Fernando Orlando Tatis 4 years before they had to. That's how you get a discount. But because Jerry Jones decided to pay a running back after Dak's third year and not his quarterback, he's in this position now.
Yes, Tatis got $340 million. So to attach the word discount to that is fascinating. But I do understand, Chris, the point you are making. And Field, you made an interesting point in our meeting this morning where you were talking about how Dak, this might not be quite as simple as it seems as he looks at the situation. Why is that?
Yeah, so everybody is sitting here saying, Greeny, that all Dak has to do is string this out one more year, and next thing you know, he's headed to the open market as a third franchise tag is unlikely. But Dak Prescott also this year experienced his own football mortality really for the first time. Missed his first ever game and subsequently the rest of the season due to injury. On the one hand, yes, Dak could reach the open market next year and maybe command $40 million per year. On the other hand, and I'm not saying there's a great chance, but what if Dak returns this year and that leg injury bothers him and he's not the same player he has been in the past and his value depreciates by 25 or 30%? If he does that, he may still reach the open market, but the deal he would get there may not be the deal that might be available right now through an extension with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying Dak has to take an extension. I am making the argument that there might be some benefit to the player if he does, in fact, get a deal done with the Cowboys. It has to be to his liking, but it's not like the open market is the only avenue he can take.
Right, and you're making the bird in the hand argument, which I think makes a lot of sense, obviously, and generally speaking, that's what all football players want. So, Damian Woody, you know that I've been campaigning on this show, and I know that you have been saying the same thing, that the Cowboys have so boxed themselves in, issues of their own making exclusively, that they have to seriously consider trading Dak Prescott at this point, sign and trading him. It is going to be financially unfeasible to keep him if he doesn't give them a discount. And frankly, they will lose him for nothing a year from now.
Greeny, you're exactly right. And I've been on this show multiple times, and you've heard me say it. I think it's time for the Dallas Cowboys to blow it up. You know, I look at Dak Prescott. Outside of getting a contract worked out, he's going to walk after this year. And one thing we've seen from this Dallas Cowboys roster, the offensive line, which has been the staple of the Dallas Cowboys over the year, they're declining as far as age and health is concerned. They're not the same offensive line we've been used to seeing. The defense has multiple pieces that they need to upgrade. There's a lot of holes on the defensive side of the football. Yes, we know all the big names as far as the skill position with the Dallas Cowboys on offense, but they have a lot of holes, Green. And can you afford, if you're the Dallas Cowboys, to have Dak Prescott on a franchise tag of $37 million? That is just ridiculous. They need to move on and I think start rebuilding this roster.
Real quick, Field, you're shaking your head. I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, no chance the Cowboys would ever consider blowing this thing up, Greeny and Damian. Jerry Jones doesn't have time to waste right now, right? He's not going to go through this long, meticulous rebuild, especially when he is the man that has been responsible in many ways for acquiring the pieces that are on this roster that we're talking about blowing up. They're going to continue to push their chips to the middle of the table no matter what it takes.
Right, I agree. I agree with you completely. I'm not saying it's what he will do. I'm saying it's what he should do. If he wasn't the person who put it all together, they acted last offseason like they were a win-now team. They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They acted like a Super Bowl team, and they wound up missing the playoffs in a division where nobody had a winning record. All right, let's talk about other quarterbacks. Field, thank you for this article because it gives us all sorts of fodder. Right now on ESPN+, Field Yates predicting where all these quarterbacks are going to wind up. Marcus Mariota, Field, where's he going?
How about the New England Patriots, Greeny? And a hat tip to our friend Mike Reese, who, of course, covers the Patriots. Mariota making too much money for the Raiders to likely keep him as just a backup. And the Patriots, picking 15th overall, have no guarantee of acquiring a quarterback in the first round of the draft. To me, it would make sense to do some sort of middle market shopping. Marcus Mariota would make sense. The Chicago Bears were actually the last team that I filled in this exercise, and I gave them Sam Darnold, which of course means something for the Jets we'll discuss in just a little bit. But the Bears, in my exercise, do not trade for Carson Wentz. They need to make a quarterback move. Darnold needs a change of scenery in a major way. He's just 23 years old. Perhaps Matt Nagy believes he can be the player many thought he would be when he came out of USC. And if Sam Darnold is now a Chicago Bear, that means that somebody else is now a New York Jet. And that player is Zach Wilson. And Greeny, I am not trying to play to the crowd here. I am here to tell you that Zach Wilson, maybe he is a consolation prize because Trevor Lawrence is so prodigious, but he is absolutely worth the number two overall pick in any draft. This guy is a playmaking extraordinaire. He has got an incredibly quick release. He is extremely athletic. He's got a confidence about him that will bode really well at the NFL level. The Jets and Zach Wilson is a marriage that I think makes all sorts of sense beginning in 2021.
All right, and again, the whole piece is up there on ESPN+. He's got quarterbacks everywhere. It's fascinating. But let's talk that one for the moment. And Chris, you host, for those who don't know, Chris hosts a local radio show on ESPN New York every weekday morning, 5 to 8 a.m., talking football. And so what is your perspective on the Jets? The draft really does start at number two because we all know what's happening at number one. What do you believe that the Jets will do?
They have to draft a quarterback at two, Greeny. I mean, how often are you going to be in this position if you're Joe Douglas, being at the top
of the draft? In their case, they were in this position 3 years ago, and they drafted Sam Darnold.
Absolutely, and their general manager had the foresight to move up, and then they've gone about systematically ruining that quarterback, firing their head coach in his rookie year, and then firing their general manager that drafted him going into his second season.
True.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of dysfunction around Sam Darnold, and so you would be led to believe that most of the issues that they've had with his lack of production could be attributed to that. But the fact is, you just don't know. And when you weigh the opportunity cost and what you could potentially be passing on that too, it just doesn't make sense for Joe Douglas to miss out on the opportunity to take a quarterback.
D-Wood, I'd like to hear you on both sides of this. What do you believe the Jets should do? And if Darnold does get that fresh start in Chicago, for instance, what do you think he can become?
Yeah, I think if you're the New York Jets, you absolutely have to draft a quarterback at two for a couple reasons. Number one, you know, for much of what Chris talked about with the New York Jets organization, how they just, you know, totally, messed this thing up with Sam Darnold from the get-go of him getting drafted. But I think the bigger thing is when you have a quarterback like Zach Wilson, the opportunity to reset the contract. Not only is he a highly touted quarterback and has all the tools to be very successful in the National Football League, but you also, from a cap perspective, get to reset that cap and then allocate more assets to building around Zach Wilson. They have a ton of draft picks, a ton of cap space. Now you reset that with a new head coach. I think that's the direction that the New York Jets go in. As far as Sam Darnold's concerned, listen, Greeny, I've always been a big believer in Sam Darnold's talent. He obviously needs, I think, a change of scenery. But the one question I have with Chicago, you have a coach and general manager, to me, who are on the hot seat. Are you willing to bet on a quarterback who's been spotty at best in New York, albeit in adverse conditions with all the changes? But are you willing to bet your career on a guy who really hasn't panned out in the National Football League yet?
Right. It's a good question. And Field, it would really, as one who has obviously followed the situation closely, I would feel bad for Sam Darnold because it'd be another spot where he just never got a shot. If he winds up going to Chicago and they fire the coach and he's one more year and one more system, that would be him. He'd be on his fifth head coach going into his fifth season in the NFL. And there's no one who could succeed under those circumstances.
Yeah, as I mentioned when I started going through my rip of the quarterbacks earlier, this was the last quarterback that I placed, Sam Darnold going to the Bears. It was sort of like, we've got one team, and we've got one player that I believe should be a starter somewhere. It's not a great option, but the Bears are entering some desperate times right now. They can't settle for running it back with Mitch Trubisky, obviously. And who else are they going to get right now? Sam Darnold might be a player that checks the one box of being young enough to believe that we can resurrect his career while also not being that expensive for 2021. But the Bears have their hands tied in a lot of ways this year.
Yeah. It's a messy situation. All right, fascinating. Obviously, we work our way towards the draft a little more than 2 months away. Meanwhile, as we continue, the other end of that spectrum. We know he is the GOAT on the field, but is he the best in another far less dangerous place as well? Don't miss this from TB12 next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and this was just fascinating. Tom Brady's latest tweet does not let his doubters off the hook. The Buccaneers quarterback, Super Bowl 55 MVP, posted a 60-second Twitter video yesterday signaling to his critics and to everyone that he has not forgotten what has been said about him. He posted it, a video, we don't have the rights to play for you, unfortunately, but he wrote on it, I love talk radio and TB12 Sports, and he just played a bunch of clips of people essentially suggesting that he was done, that he was finished, that his best days were behind him, all the rest of that. You see the smiles on everybody's face, because look, talk radio, raising my hand, all right? 30 years and counting, we've been doing it. D. Wood, that's your old teammate there, Tom Brady. He's listening, right? The idea that he doesn't hear the critics, he is listening, and now he's keeping receipts.
Well, first of all, TB12 has a great social media team because they've been putting out this type of content for a while. But it just it reminds me of when I played with the Patriots and Coach Belichick would be on the Stairmaster with this whole packet of clippings from news media, just all the things that were said, and he would be highlighting them to show us in meetings or night before a game. So I think Tom is very good at copying Bill Belichick in that manner.
Isn't that fascinating? Just pick up on that thought, because I'm not sure I'd heard that before, that Belichick, who is, we all know, the king of saying nothing in press conferences, addressing nothing, you're telling me that he was paying close attention to the things being said about him and his team.
Absolutely. There were so many times I would have to come in the morning for workouts and stuff like that, and Bill would be on the Stairmaster, and we'd have a huge clip of papers and all those type of things. And he would be working out and highlighting everything that everyone was saying in the media. And he would be telling us and showing us during our meetings and the night before the game. So when you hear people up in New England say they're ignoring the noise, trust me. No, they are paying attention to everything that we have to say.
That's fascinating. Now, don't ignore the noise. Use the noise. Use it to your benefit. Field, you had an interesting comment earlier today on the way you reacted to Tom Brady's social media post here.
I hated it, Greeny. I hated it. I've been on Twitter for 12 years. I agonize over tweets to hope that they're funny or insightful. Tom Brady has been doing this for like 2 years, and he's got the best Twitter handle on the entire app. Tom Brady puts out golden content every time I turn. This was yet another masterstroke by Brady. And for all my fellow broadcasters, sports reporters, media members out there that are watching this show right now, I know what you did for the about 100 seconds of that video. You watched with bated breath, hoping that you hadn't said something that might have made the video, because we are all asked to make a lot of opinions and we don't always get them right. But you're all sitting there nervous. I was nervous. I'm thinking to myself, did I say something along the way over the past 6 months that might have suggested Tom Brady had fallen off at all? Fortunately, I didn't make the cut, and I know now I will never, ever, ever ever question Tom Brady.
Let me say this quickly. As one who's been doing this a little longer than you, I bet you the number of people watching that hoping they were in the video was greater than the number of people watching and hoping they weren't. That is the reality of this business. Chris Canty, quick reaction. What'd you think of Brady?
Well, listen, I wasn't with Field in terms of watching it because I wasn't one of the ones that was predicting Tom Brady's demise.
That's right.
I was going to be the last one to show up to that party. But good on Tom Brady for reveling in it, man. He goes down to Tampa in his first year winning a Super Bowl after everybody said he was washed up in his last season in New England. He should be able to enjoy this. So good on Tom Brady for trolling everybody.
Heck yes. So that's one legendary veteran. Let's talk about another one. After being released last week by the Texans, J.J. Watt is now free to sign with any team and doesn't have to wait until free agency begins next month. He is reportedly considering the Browns, according to Cleveland.com. They went 11-5 last year and made the playoffs for the first time in forever. Titans are another place that you might want to keep a little bit of an eye on here. Their general manager, John Robinson, said that his team has had contact with J.J. Watt. Tennessee looking to upgrade its pass rush after ranking 30th in the league in sacks last season. And you see Mike Vrabel there, the coach. He had been J.J.'s defensive coordinator for a time in Houston. And J.J. Watt seems to be enjoying this. You saw him tweet yesterday, free agency is wild. So let's look at it this way. Chris Canty, I'll start with you. If you're J.J. Watt and you have made $1 trillion in his career, which he's made over $100 million, and you're as famous as you can possibly be, you're at the stage of your life maybe where you're ring chasing. You want to go find a place to win a championship. If that's your aim, where are you going?
Well, you just said J.J. Watt is a star, and stars belong in Hollywood, so I'm going with the L.A. Rams. It just makes too much sense. The Rams are going all in on Matt Stafford in the next couple of seasons. They traded two first-round draft picks to Detroit in order to get him. They don't have a first until 2024, so it just makes sense. If they can add to this roster, add to that defense, which was number one in the National Football League, it makes all the sense in the world. Pairing J.J. Watt with Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers, and Jalen Ramsey, I just think that that's a great match. They continue to build toward being a team that can compete at a championship level.
Well, that would make that defense downright scary. Yates, what do you think?
Everybody keeps saying, Greeny, that it has to be either make a lot of money or go somewhere where you can win. Why not both? How about the Cleveland Browns, who we just talked about? They went 11-5 last year. They went to Pittsburgh, won their wild card round game, and they can pay J.J. Watt. They've got so many players that are on rookie contracts. That includes their quarterback, Baker Mayfield. And, you know, I'm not saying that the Browns are the favorites in the AFC next year. Maybe they're not even a top three favorite. But if J.J. Watt wants to go somewhere where he can be a part of something on the rise and potentially make a run, depending on what Cleveland does elsewhere in the offseason, and also make a lot of money on a multi-year deal, Cleveland threads the needle for me. I like them as a potential fit for J.J. Watt.
Yeah, it's important to point out, you're suggesting, and it's something to keep in mind, he's still a guy that teams might throw a whole bunch of money at, and he might not want to turn that down. D. Wood, where do you like
it? Yeah.
Listen, I like Buffalo. We saw the jump that Josh Allen and that offense made last year. The defense started to come on. I think J.J. Watt, at this particular point in his career, I think the interior pass rush that he would bring to the table would be phenomenal, especially for a Buffalo Bills defense. And you put him beside Jerry Hughes at defensive end, man, that would be a dynamite combo as far as pass rushes and guys that could potentially close out a game on the defensive side of the football. So I like the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, all of those make sense, obviously. No one mentioned the Green Bay Packers, which continues to be, obviously, it's where he is from. He's from Wisconsin. He played his college ball at Wisconsin, and that team is as close to winning a championship, I suppose, as any could be. Canty, why not Green Bay?
Well, Green Bay's got to take care of their own business. They've got some in-house issues that they've got to figure out, and chief among them is Aaron Rodgers. But also, you've got Aaron Jones, their all-world running back. They've got to figure something out with his contract. He's an impending free agent. Also, their center, Corey Linsley. So I don't know that the Packers have the flexibility under the cap to be able to go after somebody like J.J. Watt to pay him what he would want in order to come run with him.
It's a really interesting one. And Field, I'll give you the final word here because you made the most important point. There's a needle to be threaded. He does not have to ring chase or get paid a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, Greeny, I think he could sign one more deal for reasonable money. Let's say it's, I'm just making this up, 3 years, $33 million. And maybe 3 years from now, or maybe even 2 years from now, he can go ring chase. He's got enough football left in him that whatever the next deal he signs doesn't have to be for minimum money. Green Bay will be there waiting for J.J. Watt if it's 2 years from now, 3 years from now, et cetera. I like Cleveland as a fit. I'll stand by that until he chooses somewhere else, which could very well be the Green Bay Packers.
I like it. And then maybe he'll put out a video and he'll play your clips back there because they're always listening. Okay, meanwhile, we have much more football as we go, but let's run the floor through some of the good NBA action from last night. Let's begin. Oh, the Utah Jazz. That's the biggest story in the sports. Donovan Mitchell scored 24 last night. Rudy Gobert had 23 and 20 rebounds. Utah wins again, rolling past the Clippers for their ninth straight victory. Gobert had a huge game, dominant on both ends of the floor. The Clippers were playing without practically anyone. And next game, another night, another great performance for Damian Lillard. Don't forget this guy's name in the MVP voting. With the Blazers down to the Pelicans by one with 20 seconds left, it was Dame time. He drove to the basket, knocked it down, seals Portland's 126-124 win. And then there's Steph. Steph Curry saved his best for last in the Warriors' 120-112 overtime win over the Miami Heat. He had 25, playing a season-high 42 minutes, overcame sort of an off-shooting night by finding a stroke when it mattered the most, Golden State and Steph with the win. As we continue, Ben Roethlisberger weighing his future, his boss chiming in. His take was fascinating. Why Big Ben has some questions today. You'll hear the answers next. Get up on ESPN.